here to our Christmas Eve service. Thank you for coming. I believe there is extra overflow set up downstairs, so once we've reached our capacity up here, there is a feed set up for downstairs. So, yeah, welcome here. There is a program set up that we will run through. But before we begin, maybe just bow with me in a word of prayer. Father, we just thank you for the privilege it is to be here tonight on Christmas Eve, just to celebrate the birth of your Son, Jesus. And we just thank you that we can be a part of that, that you've sent your Son to us. Pray as we sit here tonight and listen to the service that we're just reminded again of your grace, your love for us, and your forgiveness. We just thank you for that. I pray that you would bless the service tonight. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
So throughout this Advent, we've been singing the song, A Candle is Burning. So we'll be singing that. I'm not sure if we have the words. Do we have the words, Tim? No? Okay, so this is the first time I've actually played it, so we'll just be gracious.
A candle is burning, a flame warm and bright. A candle of dark night, while angels sing blessings from heaven's starry sky, our hearts we prepare now, for Jesus is nigh. A candle is burning, a candle of peace, a candle to signal that conflict must cease, for Jesus is coming to show us the way, a message of peace humbly laid in the hay. A candle is burning, a candle of joy, a candle to welcome Mary's new boy. Our hearts fill with wonder, our eyes light and glow, as joy brightens sunshine on snow. A candle is burning, a candle of love, a candle to point us to heaven above. A baby for Christmas, a wonderful birth, for Jesus is bringing God's love to our earth. We honor Messiah with Christ's candle flame. Our Christmas Eve candles glad tidings proclaim. Oh, come, all you faithful, rejoice in this night, as God comes among us this Christmas July.
I also don't have PowerPoint prepared for you, but we're going to sing a couple of songs that you probably know, so just sing along. We'll start with It Came Upon a Midnight Clear.
It came upon a midnight clear, that glory song of old, from angels bending near the earth to touch their above its sad and lowly plains, they bend on hovering wing, and ever o'er its babel sounds the blessed angels sing. And ye beneath life's crushing load, whose forms are bent, who toil along the climbing way with painful steps and slow, look now for glad and golden hours come swiftly on the wing. Oh, rest beside the weary road and hear the angels sing.
Challenges of being vertically challenged. Okay, so I'm doing the children's story. And hopefully all the kids will still hear. Hi, Haley, are you listening to my story? Stories are one of my favorite things to do in our homeschool day. Can you guys all hear me? Am I close enough? Okay. Put my reading glasses on. Okay, so this story, it's called Home for Christmas by Sally Grindley and Karen Littlewood. The boy was woken, as he was, every morning by the sounds of cattle shifting anxiously in their stalls. It was another hour until milking time, but they were ready now. He pushed his straw bedding aside and scrambled to his feet. He must be gone before anyone came to tend them. He filled a cup with fresh milk and drank thirstily, patted the animals farewell, then slipped out through the stable door. The racket and stench of the market spread to every quarter of the town and dragged people from their sleep. Lanterns began to glow from deep inside houses, while voices spilled out through the windows. As the boy hurried along the empty streets towards the market, he wondered what it would be like to wake up in a house with a family. When he reached the market, the noise was ear-splitting. Cattle bellowing, hens squawking, sheep bleating, donkeys braying, men whistling, crates being scraped along the ground, all jumped up with an air of excitement that had grown throughout the week. "Get to it, lad," shouted a merchant. "The town's full. We'll be run off our feet today." The boy picked up a brush and began grooming the animals. He spoke to them gently, sensing fear in their wild eyes and whipping tails. Their stale breath made him choke as it swelled in the cold morning air. It wasn't long before crowds of people began to arrive at the market. They pushed and jostled, they chattered and laughed, they haggled and demanded. None of them paid any attention to the boy who emptied baskets of fish onto tables and swept the ground around them. All day he fetched and carried and cleaned, stopping only to bolt down a hunk of bread and cheese and a bowl of thick soup. And then, as the last few people left in the dull evening light, the boy noticed a man leading a woman on a donkey. She looks so weary. The boy felt sorry for her, even though he was dropping with exhaustion himself. Have you something to drink for my wife? The man asked. Too late, mate. We're finished for the day, someone shouted. The man didn't protest. He turned to go, and the boy felt ashamed of his workfellow. The streets were bustling with people when the boy walked home. The business of the day was over, and now they were enjoying themselves with family and friends before traveling back to their own homes. The boy wished he could join in, but no one even noticed him as he slipped quietly by. When he reached the stable, he crept inside, greeted the animals one by one, then wrapped himself up in his straw bedding and quickly fell asleep. He was woken by the sound of the door opening and whispering voices. His heart beat fast. He listened hard as the door closed again. Had someone discovered his secret hideaway? A sudden crash of thunder shook the stable. The animals bellowed in panic. A flash of lightning lit up the stalls. For a brief second, the boy saw the gaunt face of the woman he had seen earlier, before it went dark again. The storm raged on, each clap of thunder more terrifying than the last. The boy was too frightened to move. He thought he heard a baby cry, but he wasn't sure. Then it went very quiet. The lightning had stopped, but the stable was strangely bright. The boy did not dare to move for a while. Then he peered out from under the straw. Through the gap above the door, a blazing star spilled its light down onto a scene that made him gasp. The woman was sitting on a low stool, the man standing by her side. In a manger before them lay a tiny baby, surrounded by the animals of the stable. The boy watched from the shadows, fearful that someone would send him away. Suddenly, the man said, "Don't be afraid. We have shared your home. Come and share our joy." The boy slowly crept out from his hiding place, blinking in the bright light. Then he took his cup, filled it with milk, and held it out for the woman to drink. She smiled as he knelt beside her. "Hold his hand," she said. The boy took the baby's hand, and as he held it, a feeling of warmth settled inside him. During the rest of that long night, visitors came and left gifts for the baby. Poor shepherds and wealthy wise men knelt down before him. The boy looked on, wide-eyed. As the hours passed and the feeling of warmth grew, he knew at last what it felt like to belong. So just like the little orphan boy in this story, we all long to belong, right? Do you kids all long to belong too? We all want to be loved by someone and know that we have value. And when he was invited to come, what did he do? He might have been fearful, but he responded to that call and he came and he found that belonging. And that invitation, did you guys know that that invitation is still open for us today to come? Yes. In Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." Do you guys need special clothes or fancy clothes or a big house, lots of toys before Jesus can take you? No, you come just as you are. Just like in the story, the poor shepherds, even the orphan boy, he had nothing to offer Jesus. No physical things. He didn't have toys and good clothes, a big house. He didn't have a family. So when Jesus says, "Come," he said too in John chapter 7, verse 37, Now on the last and greatest day of the feast, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink." And Jesus came as a baby and died on the cross and rose again from the dead and ascended to heaven so that every one of us can come to him. No one is left out. And what matters to him is the condition of our hearts, not the clothes we wear or where we come from or who we are, who our friends are, who we know, but the condition of our heart. So let's remember that. Today is the eve of his birthday. Tomorrow we celebrate his birth. And as you're excited about all the toys and gifts that you might be getting, be even more excited that Jesus came just for you and for me. Thank you.
For the Savior of heaven has come. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes because there was no room for them in the inn. Now there were, in the same country, shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men."
Star burns in the darkness, shines with a promise, Emmanuel. One child born in the stillness, living within us, Emmanuel. We're singing glory. We're singing glory, glory.
wash my hands. I don't touch my face. I stay at home, shelter in place. Social distance, don't go to work. I'll wear a mask and gloves, stay away from church. I avoid old folks, and should I sneeze, I do it in my elbow or up my sleeve. 6 feet apart, that is the rule. And I pray for the day the kids can go back to school. I'm washing my hands like a raccoon with OCD. I've watched Hulu, Roku, Netflix, PBS, and the BBC. I've taken down all my mirrors, and I'm sick of what I see. 2 more weeks of quarantine will be the death of me.
The death of me.
I risk a trip grocery store to buy a TP and a few things more. But when I get there, all I can find is 16 honey buns and some Mad Dog wine. I'm washing my hands like a raccoon with OCD. I've watched Hulu, Roku, Netflix, PBS, and the BBC. I've taken down all my mirrors, 'cause I'm sick of what I see. Yeah, 2 more weeks of this quarantine's gonna be the death of me.
The death of me.
You know, they say this.
So how many can identify with that song? Well, it's been quite a year, and with that song, Ray Stevens is trying to lighten the mood a bit by pointing out all the things that we're missing and all the things we have to do because of COVID. And so as we celebrate Christmas this year, there's going to be a temptation to focus on what we're missing. For some, the greatest hardship is going to be that family are not returning home for Christmas. For some, it's maybe going to be the first time you celebrate Christmas alone or as a couple. It's not going to be very easy to have joy this Christmas for some. A few years ago, Esther and I took some training from a group that trains pastors. And the leader of the group is a man by the name of Cam Taylor. And Cam has not had an easy life. A few years ago, he loves to ride his motorcycle, and while he was out riding one afternoon, someone ran him over. And I won't go into the details, but the damage that was done to his body was just unbelievable. And it was just a long, hard road back out of it. And then his wife was diagnosed with cancer, and she died in May of this year. And Cam has a blog for pastors that I follow. And as he's gone through his grief since May, he's blogged it and just the things that God has been teaching him as he's gone through his grief. And just this past week, he entitled his video blog, Surprised by Joy. And the little blurb before you click on that, he wrote this. He said, I wasn't sure what to expect this Christmas. It's the first Christmas without my dear wife, Vicki, who passed away in May. What surprised me is the presence of unexpected joy. In his video blog, he goes on to share how in the past months, how many times in the hurt and in the pain, suddenly there would just be unexpected joy. His wife had already planned out a Christmas Day menu, and so Cam and his daughter decided that they're going to follow through tomorrow on the and cook that same menu in remembrance of her. So this past week they went shopping. And he said, I expected it to be a time of sadness for them as they shopped. But he said, I was surprised once again because suddenly we were experiencing joy as they shopped and remembered a wife and a mother. And so there they're going to be tomorrow under lockdown. They can't be with other people or have other people in. It's just going to be the two of them, him and his daughter. And he said, we're experiencing joy. You know, God does that for us. He gives us those moments of joy. And sometimes we get a little bit too distant away from God, and we lose sight of that. We lose the sense, as C.S. Lewis tried to bring across in his Narnia series. And he wrote this, said, joy is something that we often associate with special pleasurable moments in life. It happens, for instance, when someone falls in love. One person wrote this. He said, the same at the birth of a new child. I remember a year or so after I was married, visiting some friends who had a one-year-old. He was so cute with his first steps. The parents would applaud his every move, and he would flash the greatest smile as he walked around a coffee table. Viewing this was like candy for other young couples. And I remember having the conversation with my wife and uttering those ill-fated words, we should have one of these. The thought had barely crossed my mind when the pregnancy was announced, but then there was that almost eternal wait for the birth. Finally, the day arrives for the young couple. It doesn't seem to matter whether the birth is easy or difficult. Almost soon as the child is born, a moment of magic takes place. The pain is forgotten, and each parent takes the child in their arms. Something happens within their soul. There's wonder, amazement, love, and joy that's felt down in the soul. Now we understand those things. Surprised with joy at that moment. The shepherds were surprised with joy. As they were out living in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks, and that angel of the Lord appeared, and the glory of the Lord shone down around them, and the angel said, do not be afraid, I bring you good news of great joy. And we know that story so well of how they went in, saw the baby, and they went away, and they were just praising God. They were dancing in the streets, and they were telling everyone the things that had happened. They were surprised by joy that night when life is the messiest. And so often joy comes when we least expect it. But going back to C.S. Lewis, joy comes because of the presence of Jesus. The children in The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, as the beaver family has helping them to flee the White Witch and her wolves, and they're taken in by Mr. and Mrs. Beaver, and they begin to tell the children about Aslan, who's the counterpart to Jesus. And as they tell the children about Aslan, this is what C.S. Lewis wrote. He said, Perhaps it has sometimes happened to you in a dream that someone says something which you don't understand, but in the dream it feels as if it had some enormous meaning, either a terrifying one which turns the whole dream into a nightmare, or else a lovely meaning, too lovely to put into words, which makes the dream so beautiful that you remember it all your life and are always wishing you can get into that dream again. It was like that now. At the name of Aslan, each of the children felt something jump inside. Susan felt as if something delicious, as if some delicious smell or some delightful strain of music had just floated by her. And Lucy got the feeling you have when you wake up in the morning and realize it's the beginning of the holidays or the beginning of the summer. What C.S. Lewis is trying to describe there is just the joy that the children felt when they heard the name of Aslan. And he's trying to describe the joy that we should feel when we hear the name of Jesus. But our problem is the name of Jesus, it becomes so commonplace that we tend to lose that. David, talking about Jesus, said, you have made known to me the paths of life. you will fill me with joy in your presence. You know, if we learn to walk in the presence of our Lord and Savior, there's unexpected joy there. Galatians 5:22 tells us that the fruit of the Holy Spirit is joy. To enjoy the presence of God is to have joy. It doesn't matter how much we're missing this Christmas. And yes, Christmas is going to be different this year for many of us. Many of us are going to struggle with those restrictions. Many of us are going to miss those family gatherings and the joy that comes from it. But I'm just encouraging you this evening, refocus. Take your eyes off of what you're missing and turn your eyes to the blessing that you still enjoy. The blessing of the presence of Jesus. And maybe this is a good thing for us, to refocus really back on what Christmas is all about. So spend this Christmas in the presence of Jesus and you will have joy. You'll be like the shepherds leaving his presence with hearts full of rejoicing. You'll be like my former teacher, suddenly experiencing unexpected joy. And the worst thing that can happen to you this Christmas is not our COVID lockdown. No, none of us like that. The worst thing that can happen to you this Christmas is that you would go through tomorrow and not experience joy. And so as you remember Jesus this Christmas, I encourage you to ask Jesus to surprise you with unexpected joy. Perhaps you're still struggling with that. And you say, well, that doesn't help me a whole lot. Let me give you something else to do. I'm going to do it in story form. Steve Hugo wrote this story, and apparently it was an autobiography about himself as a child. And so he writes, for as far back as I can remember, I always treated old man Jones, my neighbor, in the worst ways. Each April 1st, I had the burning bag, paper bag with dog poop in it tradition. And even though old man Jones never fell for it, he still had a gross pile to remove from his front stairs. He always knew it was me, and he always said, without anger in his voice, someday you'll be sorry. His driveway was next to ours, and in the winter I always shoveled our snow onto his driveway, giving him twice the work. He never did get a snow blower, but when I was 12, just before blizzard, one appeared in my driveway with a note saying, you might need this. I could now delight in blowing all the snow from my driveway and most of my front yard onto old man Jones' car. I could even cut a wider than needed path from my mom's car just to put more snow on the dinosaur's driveway. That's what my mom always called him, the dinosaur. He always knew it was me, and he always said without anger in his voice, someday you'll be sorry. I keyed his car more than once. When I discovered the mint 1969 Mustang Mach Series car that always stayed under a thick canvas cover kept for someone, I quickly sought to learn how many pumps of my BB rifle it took to send that metal orb through its windows. It took all 10 pumps. He knew it was me, and he said without anger in his voice, someday you'll be sorry. Between my rifle and slingshot, most of his home windows had to be replaced at one time or another, not to mention the battered aluminum siding that still bears the mired marks of the little dents. He never complained about the shattered bird feeder or the constant supply of dead squirrels, sparrows, cardinals, and whatever else winged its way into his yard. I do remember the tenderness that he buried them with, though. I can't recall how many times he had to take his cat to the vet to remove a pellet from an infected wound, but I do remember that he always knew it was me and always said without anger in his voice, someday you'll be sorry. At Christmas time, he used to set up lots of lights around his house that looked like virtual BB magnets, which they were. A plastic manger scene was the prime target one year and stayed on the relic's front lawn until I shot the baby's face off. He knew it was me, and he said without anger in his voice, someday you'll be sorry. There was this room in his house that I would look into sometimes when the old man was away. It was the kind of room that I would have loved to have if my mom could ever get a real job. It was just like one of those good housekeeping kids' bedroom that everyone is supposed to want. I always figured that Jones was on the loony side, and this keeping a cool room for a kid he didn't have thing was final proof that I need it. I never shot that window out. My mom and I never had much money, much in the money department, but every year on Christmas, a couple $100 worth of cool stuff was left on my doorstep with Merry Christmas and my name written on each carefully wrapped gift. That's where the BB gun had come from, along with a great target setup, which was never needed due to the shooting range next door. My mom, too hung over each Christmas morning to get me up early enough to meet the gift bearer, said the stuff probably came from my grandfather, whom she hadn't cared to talk to or see since long before I came around. There had been some long-remembered fight over his interference in her affairs, of which there were many. I'd never seen him and really didn't know or care where he lived so long as the goodies came. One Christmas, I got up early on my own because I thought that I might want to see what my ancestor looked like, not to mention that I was hoping for BBs from my benefactor because old man Jones had just gotten a new bird feeder with unbreakable glass in it, and my BB gun was calling my name before the sun was up. I was still rubbing sleep from my eyes when I heard a soft shuffling on the porch. As I quietly opened the front door, the rising sun reflected off an armload of carefully wrapped presents in silver and gold paper, each with Merry Christmas and my name written on it. The arms were still holding the gifts, but the face was hidden by a tall package. The obscured gift bearer was unaware that it opened the door until he carefully put the gifts down. Startled, old man Jones stood up stiffly and with moistened eyes and broken voice said, "Merry Christmas." Someday had come. And old man Jones could never have been more right. I was sorry. Hugo goes on and he writes this. He says, "Grace, mercy, acceptance, and love had been next to me for all of my life, but in pathetic ignorance, I'd abused them, turning their very blessings against their source." Today, if after this you're still struggling with joy, take this thought home with you. Old man Jones is a picture of Jesus, who has so faithfully given us blessing after blessing when we didn't deserve it, and we don't recognize them. And so if you're struggling with joy, just take a few moments tomorrow and count your blessings instead of your losses this year, and you just may experience unexpected joy. And so, as Paul said, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him.
Closing song, we'll sing, "What Child Is This?"
What child is this who lay to rest on Mary's lap is sleeping, whom angels greet with anthems sweet, while shepherds watch our keeping? Thank you.
All right, that nearly concludes our program tonight. I will close in prayer before we head out, but there will be one thing happening after the closing prayer. I'll just get Ike Dirksen to come up after to announce what's happening with some of the bags they're hoping to hand out at the back. So just bow with me in a word of prayer, if you will. Father, we just thank you for tonight, the reminder that we have just to be in your care and to trust you, and that we get our joy from you. Pray that you would remind us of that again tomorrow as we celebrate the birth of your Son. And as we go from here, pray that you would bless the rest of our year. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, good evening, everyone. Thank you all for coming. I want to wish you a Merry Christmas as you go. As the social team lead, Jennifer and I really were kind of missed not being able to have our Thanksgiving dinner. And so we wanted to do something to still recognize that as a church we can share joy and share joy together as a body of believers, as a family. And so tonight as you leave, we have prepared some bags in the back. These are bags for everyone. There's lots there. And so I encourage you to take one. Just as you're filing out the door, you'll see them on the tables there. Try not to gather too much, I guess, but take a bag, take a spare. There's 150 bags there, so there's lots. And if you happen to see somebody, share the joy. And so with that being said, Merry Christmas, and have a great night. Thank you.